Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast entitled Cultural Sensibility in Global Health, Perspectives from PhD Students. My name is Stephanie Khoury, and I'm a first-generation Syrian-American, and I'm a third-year PhD student at Swiss TPH, working on maternal and child health epidemiology with a focus on breastfeeding. Today, I'm joined by my colleagues Duha Mahjoub and Milagros Alvarado. So can you please introduce yourself, Duha?
Thank you, Stephanie. My name is Duha, and I'm a medical doctor from Sudan. I'm a second-year PhD student, also at Swiss TPH. And my project is focusing on health system, where I'll be assessing the effect of armed conflict on the health system performance in sub-Saharan Africa.
Hi, everyone. My name is Milagros, and I'm a psychologist by training from Peru. And I'm a third-year PhD student at Swiss TPH, working on mental health.
Thank you both. So today we will be discussing a very important and interesting topic, a topic that has been consciously and subconsciously overlooked, a topic that can shape our research findings and how impactful they can be. It is a topic that fuels passion but can also be uncomfortable for some. The focus of today's podcast is cultural sensibility in global health research and how this shapes our research as PhD students. But before we start, I'm sure you are wondering what exactly is cultural sensibility. There are many definitions, but we like to define it as a continuous empathetic system of self-reflection that allows communication and clinical practice and research to be aligned to the needs, values, and contexts of people from different cultures, cultural backgrounds for improving care, relationships, systems in a diverse population and world. Now I'll give the floor to Duha and Milagros to discuss their research projects and how cultural sensibility plays a role in their research, and how do they or did they address cultural sensibilities in their projects? Duha.
Thank you, Stephanie. So my topic, as I mentioned, is about assessing the effects of armed conflict on health system performance in sub-Saharan Africa. So I'm from Sudan, but at the same time, I'll be working in different sub-Saharan Africa. So I think for me, it's very important to have a local knowledge about the different cultures, the different environment, the different norms of the country where I'll be working on and collect the data. So why this is important? Because the topic by itself is sensitive, but at the same time, I'll be working with a vulnerable population because those people, they just survived the conflict. Before the conflict, they are coming from lower middle-income countries, and the situation is even getting worse after the conflict. And lots of reports saying that women and children, are the most vulnerable population, directly or indirectly affected by the conflict. They've been exposed to so many violence, like physical violence or even sexual violence or negligence. So you see, there are so many layers of vulnerabilities in such a population I'm working with. So that's why it's very important to have this local knowledge. And with these layers of sensibilities in mind, with continuous and conscious self-reflection, so I should put this and respect these variations, these vulnerabilities, and the different cultures and the different environment they're coming from. So when I practice this, you feel gradually that people, they feel comfortable, they start opening their hearts and they start sharing their experiences, and then they give you the real data, which for me, I think it's very important to get the reliable data, avoiding just the cultural sensibility or having a very conservative participant. And at the end, I think this is a win-win situation, both for me, the researcher or the student, or even for them, for the participant and the beneficiaries, because I'll get the data and then understand what's going on and how can we help those communities, how can we tailor and design a suitable intervention that can improve the situation of such communities.
Duha, and can you give us an example as how you address cultural sensibility in your PhD?
Yeah, I think this is very important. Thank you so much for this question, Milagros. You know, after I read and ask and understand all these variations, it helped me on how I'm going to formulate the question in the different questions in my questionnaire, because like I can design the questionnaire in such a way in for X country, and then it will be the same content, but then how I phrase the question itself. So yeah, I should be very careful with designing, framing, and even like how like interviewing the participant.
Very interesting. Thank you, Duha.
Thank you so much for sharing. These are very important points to reflect on. I also have a question for you. What are the different challenges you face when working within your country context compared to other countries in sub-Saharan Africa?
Yeah, you know, I'm still a second year student, so I still haven't gone through all the data collection process. But because I'm from Sudan and it's my country, so more or less I'm aware with lots of the differences in the cultures and norms and the environment. So I'm more, like, even in a subconscious way, I understand the differences. But then when I go to other totally different countries, I have, like, consciously, I'll be aware about these variations and differences. Sometimes I even have to do lots of reading before even, like designing my questionnaire or start interviewing the participant. So, yeah, I can't, like, just anticipate, like, they accept this or they don't accept this, or this is sensitive for them or not. So I have to read, and I have to ask, and even sometimes I have to observe for a couple of days how community interact with each other. And from there, I start, like, doing my job.
Thank you, Duha. That's a very interesting and very important point that you brought up. So thank you very much. Milagros?
I think from my experience, as I say before, I'm from Peru, but I'm from the capital of my country, and I have been working in a different area in the interior of Peru. So I think I have reflected a lot is the difference in backgrounds and traditions from where the place I have been raised and the place I'm working now. And I think from the accent, the different realities, and even the clothes that we wear in the field, the hiking boots, the raincoat, I think all of these details, and maybe we don't think too much about it, become a barrier. And from also, there is a very important detail that maybe projects provide us as a researchers a lot of tools to conduct very well our study, from cars, housing, and all the transportation or different tools. And also this can be also a greater barrier to conduct our research on how we have been seen from the communities that we visit or be interviewed. As Duha said before, it's very important to know how to explain the research to the community. From the words that we use, that maybe we are used to use these very technical words, or how we express ourselves. And I think it's very important to note that it's not a research about them, it's a research with them.
Interesting, Milagros. But then I think this question came to my mind. How practical do you think it is possible to address or to implement different aspects of cultural sensibility in the field, which I think you spend most of the time there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as you say before, I'm very aware that I cannot address all the aspects. I think also I'm reflect a lot. This is part of my identity as well. And I don't want to share this message that I want to share my identity to take what I want or to take what the project wants from the communities. I think a very important part is respect, to have mutual respect between our studies, our projects, our researchers, to the community, and then the other way around too.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you both for sharing your experiences and the way you have addressed cultural sensibility in your research. When it comes to my research, I also face a lot of challenges, some similar to what you've shared today, and some very different challenges. As I said before, I'm Syrian and was born and raised in the U.S., and my current PhD project is conducted in Brazil, where I have no connection to this country. So it comes with its different challenges when it comes to cultural sensibility. For one, I don't speak Portuguese, or I didn't when I first started my PhD. And I think that was one of the main issues when it comes to working in a different country where you have no connection and you don't speak the language. So I took it upon myself to take lessons for Portuguese to be able to communicate in their language when I'm in the field. I think it is the least I can do to be able to communicate in their language rather than expecting them to communicate in mine. In addition, I think when I was in the field, I came to the realization that there was many, many differences in the ground versus the realities that they're facing and what is written in my protocol when I initially decided to conduct this research project. Of course, I did my deep dive in literature reviews and discussed with people from Brazil and people who have conducted research in that country as well. However, that wasn't enough. And I think it's really important to be on the ground and learn from the community and learn about the needs and be willing to adapt and make changes to the initial protocol. Although that's more work for the researcher, we have to never forget the point of conducting research is to have an impact in the community and not just to get a publication in the fastest duration. Another point that I think is really interesting when talking about publications is that English is the publication language. It is a language that all research is expected to be done in, and unfortunately, that takes away from the disseminating to the actual target population. So I think it's really important to reflect how it is best to disseminate the findings and results of our research to the community that we're working in. And be sure that the way we disseminate is actually feasible to implement something and make it sustainable and effective in the future. Another point in regards to publication is that, as we know, English is the publication language, and a lot of times that leaves a lot of people out from publications as they cannot provide insights in how to write, be part of the writing process. So you can always find a way around these guidelines and be by writing some parts in Portuguese, for example, for them to read and then participate in, and then translating it back in English for the publication. That's just one example, but there are many where you can allow people to participate in writing the findings within their own contexts. And then lastly, I think what's something I really came to the realization is that within country context, the importance of working with people who truly understand the needs of the community goes beyond from just being from the same country or from the same city. It goes more to the point of being self-aware and culturally aware of the situation of the community and what's the needs of the community. And that can come from anyone and everyone, but it really requires work from all parties to just be culturally sensitive.
Thank you, Stephanie. And I think from what we learned today, we all come from different backgrounds and have different relations with the country or community that we are working in. But as you see, cultural sensibility is always embedded in our work and should be considered no matter the context.
Absolutely. This has been a very informative discussion, and I hope we can continue to have such discussions in the future. It was so wonderful to hear both of your perspectives. But now, what would you say are your key takeaway messages from this podcast?
I think it's very important to be responsible. And it's what I mean by being responsible is, in order to be culturally sensible, we should take this as a responsibility. It is our responsibility as a student, as a researcher, or even as a policy or decision makers, that to be culturally aware, we need to understand where are we working and what can we do better for global and public health, for the global and public health professions. And this, we shouldn't just as students wait till we got a course about cultural sensibility, but we should go, we should learn about this topic. And I think it's very practical. We go a lot. I think we spend most of our time in the field. So before we go to that, we should do our task and our job by just go and read about where are you going, what are the different cultures and the different norms and the environments and the different groups that there. So we need to understand, to have a local knowledge about what's happening there, who are there, and the different norms. And then we can be, I think after that, we'll be ready to go and then go to the field and work there.
And I think for me, we have to always remember that we are working with the community and we should have community-centered projects. And also I think the part of the dissemination that we used to do after our project, I think is very important. Communicate about our results and our findings is important for building trust and sustainability.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think overall cultural awareness and self-awareness is just the key to conducting research in any country or any context. Do the reading and preparation, being in person, understanding the community needs and practices, and just all in all having respect, like you had said, Duha. So thank you both for joining. And to finish off this podcast, we want to ask some questions to other PhD students, yes, that are interested in such topics or not and have never heard of cultural sensibility. So actually the first question is, have you ever heard of cultural sensibility? If so, what does it mean to you as a student, public health expert, researcher, or policy and decision makers to be culturally sensitive? And how can we be more aware of cultural sensibility, not only in our research projects, but also in our personal and professional lives? So yeah, take the time to reflect on these questions. And if you have anything you'd like to add or share or have any questions at all, write to us in the comment section or reach out to us directly. We would love to hear from you in our next podcast. Thank you.
Bye-bye.